Kunjabihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopi jana vallabha girivardhari. Yashoda nandana braja janaranjana. Yamuna tiravanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi jana vallabha girivaradhari. Yashoda nandana raja janaranjana. Yamuna tiravana chari. Yamuna tiravana chari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotarashata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 3, Text 10. Athayam eva varohi arhattama yarhi barhishi rajarsher varadarshabho bhavan nijapurukshe kshena vishaya asit. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O most worshipable of all, you are the best of all benefactors, and your appearance at saintly King Nabi's sacrificial arena is meant for our benediction. Because you have been seen by us, you have bestowed upon us the most valuable benediction. Purport. Nijapurusha ikshana vishaya. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 29, Krishna says, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is equal to everyone. In that sense, he has no enemies and no friends. Everyone is enjoying the fruitive reactions of his own work, and the Lord, within everyone's heart, is observing and giving everyone the desired results. However, just as the devotees are always anxious to serve the Supreme Lord, just as the devotees are always anxious to see the Supreme Lord satisfied in every way, similarly, the Supreme Lord is very anxious to present himself before his devotees. Shri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 8, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma santhapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. Thus Krishna's appearance is for the deliverance and satisfaction of his devotees. Actually, he does not advent himself simply to kill the demons, for that can be done by his agents. Lord Vishnu's appearance at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Nabhi was just to please the king and his assistants. Otherwise, there was no reason for his being present there. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. First of all, Hare Krishna, nice to be back. The most important phrase that Prabhupada highlights in this verse is Nija Purusha Ikshana Vishaya. Vishaya means the object. Ikshana is the object of vision. And Nija Purusha means your own personal people, Krishna's devotees. So, the only object of vision for the devotees is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, direct vision, and it also means purpose. Vision is of two types. One vision is what we see with our eyes. Another vision is aspiration, what we work for, what we work towards. Like in our planning or anything, we always say we have a vision statement. It's not like we're seeing something, but it's that the eyes, they lead the body. If one doesn't have eyes or vision, their body cannot move without trouble. Usually there is some other challenge or the other without vision. So it's described that the power to see is a very special gift. And it is that by which other senses also feel alive or animated. So the purpose of vision is to see the beautiful form of Krishna. In the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami talks about the different parts of the body. And he tells that those parts of the body, if they're not used for the service of Krishna, they're useless. And he compares each limb with some other thing in the world. He says, what is the use of a long life if that life, the prana, is not dedicated to serving Krishna? It is just like the breathing of the bellows, right? Of the blacksmith. Of course, we don't see blacksmiths like that anymore, but that's what blacksmiths do. They have this big bag-like thing. It's called the bellows, and they blow air into the fire. With fire, they heat up the iron rod, and bang, bang, try to flatten it and make what? A hook for the horse or something like that. Just mundane, something really. He says, what is the use of eyes if they cannot be used in seeing Krishna's form? They're no better than the plumes, the artificial eyes on the peacock plumes. They look nice, but they have no utility. What is the use of the hands? There's a whole series of verses. What is the ear holes? If the ear holes are not filled with the sound vibration of Krishna's name, fame, glories, etc., those ear holes are no better than the snake holes. Anyway, in fact, that is a very nice comparison. Because in a snake hole, what sits there is the most envious living entity. So unless we hear about Krishna, the envy in the heart doesn't go away. He says, what is the use of the hands? He says, bhara patta kirita jushtam. The one may have broad shoulders and a very big head, pride. Big head, and their head is decorated with silk turban, meaning some position in society. But if that head does not bow down at the lotus feet of Krishna, then that turban is called bharam. It's just unnecessary weight. And he says, the hands, what is the use of the hands being decorated with golden bangles? Shavau karau. He says, the arms, if they're decorated with the golden bangles and jewelry, but if those hands are not clapping, or they're not used in Krishna's service, it's like decoration on a dead body. When we go to see someone's, when you go to someone's funeral, they dress the body up. In the Vedic system, they put the body naked. In the Western system, they dress it up, all in suited and tuxedo and flowers, and all so much decoration is there. What's the use of that decoration? He says, the legs that don't walk you to the temple of Krishna are no better than the trunks of trees, just standing there, what do you do with it? Like that, systematically, he goes one limb after another limb. And in the Vaishnava Tantras, there are very beautiful verses. He says, Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Japam Tapam Apranasya Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. That one may have great abilities, one may be from great family, jati. One may even have literature that they discuss. One may have certain mantras that they chant or recite. And they may take up some austerities. But all of that has no meaning if there is no bhakti. And it's compared to mandanam lokaranjanam. Mandanam lokaranjanam means dancing around a dead body. So this has connotation if we've seen what they do in India. They carry the dead body from the house to the crematorium, out in the open, with garlands on the dead body and the family members and others. They dance around the dead body. And that dancing is like That's the value of it. Mandanam loka ranjanam. What's the use? Recently we talked about the ability to see, vision. The shastras describe that the, what's that bird? Vulture. The vulture has such keen vision that it can be 2 miles high in the sky and it can spot a dead body. So it's described, what's the use of such keen vision that all that you're looking for is dead bodies? Such a tragic use of such great asset, looking for dead bodies. But the Vaishnavas, their vision is different. Nija Purusha Ikshana Vishaya is Krishna. Both direct vision and the vision of life, the vision for which one is working, doing anything, or using all the sensory faculties. According to Sankhya, we have so many different faculties, the 5 knowledge acquiring senses, the 5 working senses, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, the manifestations of the material elements around us. And with the vision that they are all meant for Krishna's service, then Krishna becomes the object. It's described here that Krishna manifests himself in that vision or within that vision. Why? Because Krishna likes to do so. Krishna is eager. Prabhupada writes, Krishna is very anxious to show himself to his devotees. Very anxious. But it's the devotees, now for the pure devotees, they see Krishna everywhere because Krishna manifests himself everywhere for them. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaha Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. Sadaiva, always. Vilokayanti means manifested. Krishna manifests, is manifest always in the hearts of a devotee for whom the eyes are anointed with the salve of love. That's the vision. That they can see everything with the purpose of serving Krishna, with the purpose of pleasing Krishna. So Krishna is also anxious to see his to show himself to his devotees. For persons who don't have or are not developing that vision, ikshana vishaya, then they see other things. They aspire to see other things. They aspire to see other things means they see things without connection with Krishna. And when they see things without connection to Krishna, then it's up for grabs. Or their vision is not guided by a higher purpose of serving Krishna. They have other visions of life. And that is called Bahirartha. Prahlad Maharaj talks about this. He says it's called Bahirartha Mana. Manina means to consider something important. Bahirartha Manina. One who sees things, one whose vision is different from the actual purpose of life. And for such persons, in that verse he says, Andha yatandhai upaniyamana. Because the vision is separate from Krishna, they are called blind. That blindness is, they may have very good 20/20 vision. They may have that. Even a vulture has great eyesight, but is still considered blind. So that the blindness he's talking about. Andha. And a blind person can traverse wherever they want to go to. Even if they are blind, if a person with good vision can take them, then they can reach their goal. That's the way of supplementing something that we don't have. I'll talk a little about that. But if the person holding the the blind man's hand is also blind, then both of them fall into the blind well. Andhayata andhay, upaniyamana. Upaniyamana means following the leadership of. Tepisha tantram uru damni badhyam. They are pulled by this very intense rope around themselves. They are bound. Srila Prabhupada described that the Western civilization is blind. Blind to the higher goals of life. And the Eastern civilization or the Vedic tradition in this modern age has become crippled. Meaning the vision is there, but the ability to carry it itself to that destination is not there. So he described that both the Western civilization and the Vedic civilization can benefit each other. How does a blind man and a crippled man help each other? The crippled man sits on the shoulder of the blind man and he guides, and they go together to their destination. So guided by the Vedic vision, the great ability of the Western civilization, the great capacities that they have can be utilized. It's also a very nice analogy for understanding Yukta Vairagya carefully. We may have great assets, but unless it is guided properly, we wouldn't know how to utilize them. So this vision is important. If we don't have this vision, then we must cultivate this vision. The purpose of life is not missed. Here, it's described, Krishna is describing his heart. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He's describing why he comes. He comes for the main purpose is paritranaya sadhunam. And it's vinashaya cha duskritam and dharma sansthapana. The other two purposes is to punish or annihilate the miscreants and to establish the principles of religion. These are not his main purposes. It is like if we're going to meet a friend and after many years and we're very excited, it's like telling, on the way back, can you stop by and get some coriander and milk? It's not the main purpose of leaving the house and going out. The main purpose is to go see the friend. The other two are incidentals on the way back. Anyway, you're there, so can you take care of these things? It's like that. He only cares to be with his devotees. He doesn't need to show up to kill Hiranyakashipu, the fantastic form of Lord Narasimha Dev. He manifested like that. It's to just show Prahlad Maharaj. Because he could have given Hiranyakashipu a little heart attack. Sitting as Paramatma in his heart, he would have looked at his heart and say, stop. And that would have been the end of it. And he would have gone down in history that the greatest demon had a heart attack. He died of a heart attack. Or Hiranyaksha didn't need a slap on his face, you know. Maya could have finished him. She anyway had taken care of him. Like that. But he manifests so that forever Prahlad Maharaj could have the wonderful pleasure of seeing such a fantastic form of the Lord. Similarly, he has appeared at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Nabhi just to please him. It's not like, oh, they're going to give me some nice offerings and it's been a long time, I haven't eaten something nicely, I would like this, let me show up Maybe he'll give me pure gold and pure ghee, and it's very nice. Nothing. Doesn't yesterday's class we heard that verse from Prahlad Maharaj. He doesn't need anything. Completely satisfied, so satisfied that there is absolutely nothing that he needs. And even if he thought he needed something, he just has to think about it. Swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. Just has to think, oh, how about some sweet rice? Sweet rice will manifest. Not only manifest, hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis will come running with the bowl of sweet rice for him. Just has to think about it. So he's appeared for Maharaj Nabhi. This Nijapurusha Ikshana Vishaya is possible for society in general when society is guided by persons of this nature. So when we say Brahmanas, why are the Brahmanas very dear to Krishna? It is for this purpose. In the social body, the Brahmanas are compared to the head. The Kshatriyas are the arms, the Vaishyas are the abdomen or stomach, and the Shudras are the legs. In the Purusha Shukta prayers, it says, Brahmanosya Mukhamasit, Bahu Rajanya Krutaha, Uru Tadasya Yad Vaishyaha, Padbhyam Shudro Ajayata. And the Mukha, the face or head, has certain things. Why the head? First, it is where the brain is. It is also the place where the eyes are. And it's the place where the mouth is. And they're all in the head. There's a reason. Because that's what the Brahmanas do. They think. They think about what is welfare for society. If the brain is not functioning, then the other organs don't function. If someone's mental capacities are failing, we will notice they don't know how to walk from one place to another place. They will not know how to eat, what to eat. They cannot use their arms. The capacity of the brain is transmitted to all the different limbs of the body through the spinal cord. So we notice if someone is hurt in the spinal cord or there is a stroke in the brain, then they become paraplegic, meaning they cannot move. Nothing is possible if the brain gets affected. Very, very important organ in the body, the capacity to think, the capacity to, it's called cogitate. Cogitate means not just thinking, but analyzing and make sense of things. It rests with the Brahmanas. The hands and legs cannot make sense of things just by themselves. So the Brahmanas are necessary for society. Another is vision. If our head was turned this way, the eyes were there, we wouldn't be able to walk. We'd be walking, whichever way you call it, it would be backward. Yeah? The eyes lead where to go. And the mouth. From the mouth come words of instruction. So great thinking but no ability to speak is no use. So the Brahmanas are considered compared to the head because they speak instructions. They can assimilate Krishna's instructions and they can speak what is beneficial for the rest of the body, social body if you will. And eating. Very, very important. In the 7th canto, 15th chapter, Narada Muni is giving Yudhishthir Maharaj, I've been studying that chapter, so it's fresh for me. He's instructing Yudhishthir Maharaj on the behaviors of an ideal person. And in that, he describes how the Brahmanas are very, very important. How Krishna is pleased when the brahmanas are taken care of. He says one can offer very nice food preparations with ghee and offer it to Krishna, and he is definitely very pleased. He is even more pleased if when very nice preparations are fed to his brahmanas or Vaishnavas. That gives him even more pleasure. It is described that Krishna eats through the brahmanas. When the brahmanas eat, Krishna is very satisfied. So all these functions of the body are possible, are made possible because of the head. So when we have a mindless society or a headless society, then we cannot function. A body can function without a hand. A body can function still with a, you know, with an impaired digestive system. Nowadays, medical science, if you cannot eat, they don't care. They can drill a hole right into your stomach and put food right in there. I don't know how they're supposed to digest, but that's there. They can do it. I was just hearing, Radharaman Prabhu was telling me. They can drill a hole straight into your stomach. You don't have to chew, you can't even taste it. You want samosa? Goes through the pipes. You can't say, nice samosa. You have no idea what it is. Everything goes through the tubes. So you can still manage to live. And if one doesn't have legs for some reason, cannot walk, still one can survive. But if there's no head at all to the body, can't survive. And even if one has a head, what's the use if it's not used properly? Meaning it has to be, the brain must be functioning, the eyes must be working, the mouth must be working. For mouth is working, I don't have to say that. Mouth is always working, it's hyperactive. But the mouth should be working properly. It's a hyperactive mouth that we have. It says everything without the brain really catching up. By the time the brain catches up with what the mouth has said, it's like, oops. And supposed to, at least Brahma Samhita says, and this is a joke, but Brahma Samhita says, Panthastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo, Vayor athapi manuso munipungavanam. That the mind can run faster than the speed of wind. With Kali Yuga, the tongue runs even faster than that. And by the time the mind catches up, it's like, oops, what did I say? So in Kali Yuga, the first instruction is Vacho Vegam, just be quiet. Let the brain think. Clean the mind. This is all the instructions in Kali Yuga. Clean your mind. Don't talk. And don't eat so much. It's quite the opposite instructions, other than what the brahmanas would get. Oh, everything is Las Vegas. Vega, Vega, this, Vega, that. Just control it. But for brahmanas, there's no such instructions. You know, control your speech. Don't eat so much. There's no instruction for brahmanas. In fact, brahmanas are told you should eat. In fact, they're fed like anything. In the pastime of Lord Chaitanya, there was the whole competition of how to feed him. So much quantity. And Advaita Acharya, he had Sita Thakurani cook varieties after varieties, and brought them in pots, and he served mounds of them on this big banana leaf. Lord Chaitanya said, "What do you think? I'm a sannyasi, how can I eat all this?" He said, "Don't argue. Every day you're eating 56 times, what, this is nothing. As Lord Jagannath, you're eating 56 times in a day, every day. Come on, you can have." And so many varieties were served. So Lord Chaitanya had to eat. He was forced by Advaita Acharya to eat. So what Lord Chaitanya did is he ate everything that was served, and he left little quantity of each preparation on the leaf. He didn't clean it up. He left little quantity. So Advaita Acharya asked him, why are you leaving some things behind? He said, this is just to show you that I've eaten that preparation. Otherwise, if it's not there on the leaf, you will argue with me that I never ate that and you will feed me more. This is evidence that I've eaten. But Advaita Acharya didn't hear. He served even more. For me, little bit more. Little bit for me, like that. There was no, don't eat so much. Only when Ramachandra Puri came, then it was a big problem. Why are you eating so much? You're eating sweets. You're a sannyasi. You're eating sweets. There are ants everywhere. That means you're devouring sweets. This is not good. Then, vegam. No eating. He cut it down. Less than half, less than quarter of what he was eating. And that was troubling for all the devotees. They were waiting. When will Ramchandra Puri leave? So we can feed Lord Chaitanya to our heart's content. Because Krishna is pleased when Brahmanas are fed. That is the principle. Because by Brahmanas eating, they are acceptable. It's not Brahmanas are eating and that's not the point. The point is the whole concept of offering food is described in the Bhagavad Gita as an act of sacrifice. And Krishna accepts sacrifice of the general public through the Brahmanas. Therefore Krishna is very pleased. And if Brahminical culture is not there, then there is no way of offering sacrifice. It has been completely killed. So what people offer in sacrifice? Goats, chicken, cows, unfortunately. That's their sense of sacrifice. Terrible. You can't feed to Brahmanas. So, very important. Nija Purusha Ikshana Vishaya. That the devotees, their vision is always Krishna. So naturally what they speak will be about that vision. That's what they are glorifying. Any comments or want to add? Questions? Himanshu?
The blind leading the blind, then you were saying, I'm going to later on expand on how we always were incomplete, we need something to help us. Something like that, I forget you.
I think I did when I talked about the Brahminical culture and the example of the East Vedic culture with the modern context, how they can all be supplemented. Everything is possible if one has the right vision. If the vision is not there, then you can have everything else. It'll all be wrongly utilized.